Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
We're so honored that Dr. Voister is with us today, and that he's been with us this weekend. It's been an amazing conference that we've had of discipleship, and he just imparted so much into us. And if you weren't able to attend, you know, I know that there will be those that did attend that will be sharing things with you, inviting you to groups, and as they began to go through some of the things that we studied and were taught. Because it's very important when you're taught the Word of God, amen? And that's what we have. You know, I want to, at this moment, but before I turn over the service, I do want to take time for our offering so they can bring our graphics up on screen. And let me explain, you know, how we do our tithes and offerings here. We do have giving stations set up in the back. Your tithe envelope will be listed, but you also, today, if you put in an offering in the offering envelope, this is to bless the man of God. Same thing if you give online, if you give in our offering, it will be to bless the man of God today on tithely. But the reason why, I was looking at these scriptures, Luke chapter 10. It says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. How many of you know that the harvest is great? Are there lost souls in this world today? I mean, do we not see how many people are so far from God? We see it on TV, we see it on social media, we see it in all of these things happening, that people are far from God. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are those that go and witness and carry the message of Jesus to those that are lost. Those that see the harvest and put in the work that it takes. It says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, as God has given Dr. Voister this special anointing to raise up laborers, to let them know, to see that there's a harvest, and we must go and harvest. We must go and build the kingdom of God. And it verse 5 says, when you enter a house, say, peace be to this house. When he has come here, he's chosen to say that he's peace be in this house, that he sees a blessing upon this house. And it says, and if son, if peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his wage. We also see that as Dr. Voister travels the world, that he is laboring for the Lord. He is laboring for the Lord as he goes and ministers to groups like us, to churches all over, saying, you know, The harvest is great, and we must train up laborers as he labors in what he does. And he is worthy of the offering that he will receive today. As much as he has imparted into us today, into us this weekend, and you will see today, he is worthy. One of the things that has blessed me so much is his teaching on people that are worthy. The very first time that he visited us, I don't even know, it was at least 5 years ago, maybe six, when he visited us for the very first time. And after the service was over, we were sitting having just a wonderful conversation with him, and he just began to impart wisdom into my father and I as we sat and listened. And that conversation has stuck with me for over 6 years. And he teaches on it about how worthy someone is. And that those are the people that must must rise to the occasion at the time of the harvest. Those are the laborers. You are those people. You must take your rightful place as Dr. Voister did. You know, he could have stayed being a pastor of a large church and lived a very comfortable life, seeing his grandchildren every weekend, going to the football games or the I guess it would be football games over there, you know, and rugby games and seeing them grow. But you know, he chose to go prepare the laborers for the harvest, to travel all over the world to say the harvest is great and there must be laborers. He is an apostle, an elder, a bishop, those that sees churches planted all over the world. And he doesn't just come and minister to a church like ours and do a discipleship group like ours and then never talk to us again. I receive texts from this gentleman often, just encouraging us and encouraging our church. And it says that when you find someone like this, looking at 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, that when you find elders who rule, they're counted worthy of double honor. And I believe today that through the impartation that you'll receive in this service, through the impartation that your leaders receive this weekend, that Dr. Voister is a man worthy of double honor. So I'm asking you today, give a good offering. Because I promise what you're doing today, you are planting a seed into excellent ground. You're planting a seed today into his ministry to say, continue doing what you're doing because we believe in you. We believe that you're raising up disciples. We believe that you're planting churches. We believe that you are preparing laborers for a harvest. The Lord has promised that we will see a great harvest. That means there has to be a lot of laborers. It's time that we all rise up and do our part. And I'm blessed beyond measure that Dr. Voister came to us this weekend. Amen. You know, he is very prayerful about where he goes. He doesn't go anywhere as a scriptural. He doesn't go just anywhere because his time is so precious. Because he knows we have to raise up laborers. We have to raise up laborers. And if you're not willing to be a laborer for the harvest, he wants to go minister to someone who is. His time is precious because he is a man worthy. Worthy to do what God has called him to do. And so I just want you to know that I'm so blessed that you came this weekend. And I believe that the deposit you made into FWC will be fruitful. I believe in those that came and spent their time this weekend, caught the vision. And I believe that those that could make it, you will catch the vision too. And we will pray to the Lord of the harvest to give us more laborers, but we will be those laborers. Amen? So I thank you today for giving. I thank you for blessing this man of God, that he can continue to do what God has called him to do. He's been so obedient to go. When you hear his stories of how God said go, God said stay, he did whatever God said. And he knows that God will bless him, but I want to be part of that blessing into his life because it's good ground. Amen. Today you will be blessed. You'll be encouraged, you'll be enriched, and you'll be challenged. I mean, who's ready to be challenged today? Some of us don't like to be challenged, you know? We don't like to be challenged. It means we got to do something. But the harvest is great. The harvest is great. And we are those workers. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'll let you introduce your guest, but I want to just go ahead and give you an opportunity to come. Would you welcome Dr. Voister as he comes today?
Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Man, the enemy is terrible. He kills, steals, and destroys. He holds people back through lies, through intimidation. He holds us back in our lives. No more. Amen. 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 Well, I want to bring the word of the Lord this morning. And I want to speak about the consecration process of priests. How many of you have an expectation for revival? Great. It's good on you. But I want to tell you, revival will only come if there's priests serving at the altar. God is looking for priests at the altar who will serve at the altar. So I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 4 and 5. And we'll go from there. Do you get the scriptures on the screen or not? Is that a possibility? Thank you. Thank you. 1 Peter, is that Sean? Thank you, Sean. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Amen. What do you do, Sean, for a living? You what? You deliver. Okay. For filolay. Frito. Frito chips. Oh. He's a pastor. In this church. Because he didn't stand here. Sean, the hand of the Lord is upon your life. Are you married? You're not married yet. Okay. The hand of the Lord is upon your life. Amen. And that days of the truck is over. I believe the hand of the Lord is upon you, that God wants you to work for Him full time. Amen. So you need to go and make some disciples and advance the kingdom of God. Amen. All right, let's get this 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 going. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also... You know, yesterday I said, and I keep on saying this, people, John... read the Bible and they swipe. They read part of the scripture and yes, amen, that's for me. And then another part of the scripture, they swipe away. They, oh, that's not for me, that's for the pastors. Hey, Jamie. This is not one of those scriptures again. All right, this is what I'm talking about. As you come to Him, then we're in. Yes, Father, we come to You. Then verse 5 starts with you also. Then we sort of hesitant. I first want to see what he's saying. Whether I'm in or out. You know, I embrace or I don't embrace. Like living stones are being built into a spiritual house. And that part we say yes. Hey, Troy. We say, man, I'm in. Yes, I want to be built into a spiritual house. But it doesn't stop there. It says to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I mean, the first part, you are a chosen generation, and our hands are up. Amen. And then it says, a royal priesthood, and then our hands are down. You know what I'm talking about. Then we accept it, and then we don't accept it. Then we, yes, the scripture is for me, and then suddenly, well, not me. Well, you can't do that with the Bible. You can't choose and unchoose. You're in or you're out. Amen? And that's how God wants to speak to us this morning. So the Lord makes a tremendous declaration over our lives that He sees you as a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. So what do priests do? Priests serve at an altar. In 1517, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses on a door in Wittenberg in Germany. And one of those theses was the priesthood of all believers. You see, the church evolved, the apostolic church evolved into a setting where only the priests, the bishops, were allowed to read the Bible. No people. The people were not allowed to even read the Bible. They could not do anything when the Church of God gathered. But Martin Luther believed that what God intended through Scripture was that every believer be a priest. That God wants us to be a kingdom of priests. Every believer be a priest. A royal priesthood. And so it was a defining moment in the Reformation when God reaffirmed to every believer, I want you too to have access to me, to be my servant, to be my mouthpiece, to have access to my word, and to operate as a priest in the kingdom of God. So this morning, I want us to revisit the consecration process of a priest. And I would like you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 8. And we're going to do the entire chapter from verse 1. Leviticus chapter 8 from verse 1. This portion, excuse me. This portion tells us, thank you so much. This portion tells us of what the Lord told Moses of how to consecrate Aaron and his sons as the first Levitical priest. And I think there's some value in us in revisiting that in our own lives this morning. Verse 1 says, the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly gathered at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses said to the assembly, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done. Verse 6 tells us the first part of the consecration process. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons forward and washed them with water. Elders, pastors, believers, one of the first elements of serving in this honored position in the kingdom of God is living a pure and holy devoted life. Daily take time to allow the Holy Spirit and the water of the Word to wash over you. Nothing purchases our lives like spending time with the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. When you allow copious amounts of Word of God to rush over your mind, rush through your heart, and the Spirit of God to be put up as a mirror in front of you, it cleans you. Allow the water of the Word to purify you. Amen. God works through pure instruments. God works through clean vessels. Purify yourself as a servant of God. The second thing, verse 7 to 9. He put the tunic on Aaron, tied the sash around him, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. He also tied the ephod to him by its skillfully woven waistband, so it was fastened on him. He placed the breastpiece on him and put the Urim and Thummim in the breastpiece. Then he placed the turban on Aaron's head and set the gold plate, the sacred diadem, on the front of him, as the Lord commanded Moses. The second element in this dedication and fulfilling the call to serve as a priest in the of the Lord is to serve with clean clothes and to serve with dedication. Keep your clothes clean. Amen. Don't serve in the house of God with soiled clothes. Don't soil it with worldly passions, worldly encumbrances. But every day, put on the armor of God in your life. Every day. Amen. We serve as priests in the house of God. You're not just a normal Joe Soap. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. You have been purchased with a high price. For what purpose? For the purpose of serving at the altar of God. That's why God called you. God called you and He washed you with His blood and He clothed you with robes of righteousness so that you can be a prepared people every day. Amen. It's not for pastors. It's not one of those scriptures that you swipe and say, well, this is not for me. I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm not a priest. No, God sees you as one of the priests in the house of God. I think the extent to which this church, you and I, will embrace our call as a priest of God is the extent to which what God will bring revival to Bardstown and surrounding areas. Amen. The third thing, verse 10. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of the oil on the altar 7 times, anointing the altar and all its utensils and the basin with its stand to consecrate them. The place where we serve needs to be set aside for His purpose. Take time to come and spiritually prepare the place as a place where the Spirit will dwell. So what Moses did is he took that oil and sprinkled it on the altar, all the utensils. He sprinkled it on the tabernacle. He set it aside as a place where you meet with God. And I want to encourage you to do the same in this house. You know, when we pastored, that's what we did in our big church. Man, I felt like I lived at the place of worship. And every morning early, I would be there with this oil, a big bottle of oil, put it on my hands, walk up and down the aisles. No, there's nobody, there's no grandstand of people, but I touch Father. I trust when people come and sit in this row, that their lives will be changed, that your Spirit will meet them, that the Word of God will wash over their lives, that their lives will be changed, that men and women will be healed. And I touch every seat, walking up and down, every seat. Man, people come and sit there and they, whoa, what's happening here? Amen. You know why? Because of the anointing oil. The anointing makes a difference in your life. I want to encourage you in your own house. Are you sleeping? Okay, you listening. Thank you. No, I hate that I speak so powerfully and somebody's got eyes closed. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Amen. You know what? In your house, when last did you anoint the doorposts of your house? When last did you anoint the doorposts of your property? Going to every corner of your property and anoint it. Say, Father, I pray for your presence to be on this property. Let this be a place that's set aside for you and for your purpose only. When last did you anoint that room where you pray, that chair where you kneel down and pray every day? Go and anoint it. Set it aside. Man, go and put the oil of God on the doorpost of that room and say, Lord, let this be a place where you come down, where angels descend and ascend. Amen. Set it aside. My wife and I, we went to Israel, went there a few times. My wife, we came back from Israel. We bought one of those, what do you call it? Mezuzah. We got a mezuzah and put it on that post, on our doorpost, at our front door, with a declaration in, the blessing of the Lord shall be upon this house. No evil shall come close to this house. We trust in the Lord Almighty to set His angels to protect our house, to protect our property, and that the presence of the Lord dwell in this house. Come on, people. I want to encourage you, re-anoint the place where you meet with God. You will find the presence of God in a greater measure, and the presence of the Lord will be there to meet you. Verse 12 says, He poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. The anointing cannot be replaced with money, with titles, with certificates on the wall. The anointing makes the difference. I remember years ago, Reinhard Bonnke in South Africa ran a school of evangelism. And I went every evening for 4 months. He ran the school. But at the end of it, there was an anointing service. And in that service, he had a bucket. How many of you know Reinhard Bonnke? You've heard of him. Right, you've heard of him. Amen. Mighty evangelist. He had this bucket full of anointing oil. And he had somebody carry this bucket next to him. And all he did is was put his two hands in it. And all over you. Man, you didn't come there with a new suit. You came there because you know the anointing is going to flow tonight. Amen. But I can tell you, that outward demonstration did something in the spirit upon one's life. Because when you receive that anointing, something changes in your life. I remember with Dr. Cho, one day he called me. I went to his office. I flew there and he took oil, the same thing. He took the bottle and he poured it out on his hands. And I thought, I don't know where you're going with all that oil. But I didn't know it was meant for my head. He just sort of smeared it on both sides. It was dripping everywhere. And he just put his hands on my head. And he started praying. But I can tell you, that is anointing that you can't buy with money. Because something changes in your spirit. Something changes over your destiny. And I wonder, Pastor Jeremy, maybe Apostle, we should start having another anointing service in this house. Where we come, we fast and pray for 3 days, maybe for 7 days, and then come together for an anointing service again. What do you think about that? Amen. Let's get the anointing of God on our lives. The anointing breaks the yoke of sin over people's lives. The anointing breaks the stronghold of the enemy over our lives. The anointing anoints you to do extraordinary things because of the anointing. Amen. Man, I believe God wants to do and accomplish this in our midst. And then we see that there are a few offerings that was made in the consecration process. The first one, verse 14, he then presented the bull for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Moses slaughtered the bull and took some of the blood with his finger, put it on all the horns of the altar to purify the altar. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. So he consecrated it to make atonement for it. Moses also took all the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver, both kidneys and the fat, and burnt it on the altar. But the bull with its hide and its flesh and its offal, he burnt up outside the camp as the Lord has commanded. Church, the greatest task of a priest of God is to serve at the altar, to make intercession between sinful man and a living God. We serve to make intercession every day of our lives. What the priest does is he goes at the altar in prayer and stands before God and say, God, have mercy on my family. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on my grandchildren. Have mercy on my business people, my colleagues, my friends, my family, my extended family. Have mercy on them. Lord, I pray for my town. Lord, that you will have mercy on my town. Save the people of this town. Save the people of this county. Save the people of this state. Save the people of this nation. Amen. I shared with the people that did the discipleship school this weekend. And thank you again for hosting us, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Tiffany, for having us here. But I shared with them, with our discipleship material, we teach repentance. But that message of repentance had such a powerful impact in Papua New Guinea that eventually ministers, government ministers, recognized this is the thing that will change the nation. So on the 26th of August 2016, we held the first ever national day of repentance in that nation. Every year, it's a public holiday, a day of repentance. So I went, they invited me because God used me to bring that message to the nation. And I had all the government ministers together. They laid their hands on the Bible. I went before God as a priest of God to ask for forgiveness on behalf of the sins of a nation. And I'm not even Papua New Guinean. Amen. Because there was a priest in the house. Amen. God wants this church to rise up to become the priest that will bring change and transformation in the nation. Very quiet in this place. Am I speaking too loud? Must I speak softer that I can hear you? Or something. So the first thing is deal with sin in your life. Deal with sin. If there's a stronghold of sin in your life, do not think that you can hide it. Deal with it. If you want the power of God in demonstration in your life, deal with sin daily. Get rid of it. The quicker you deal with sin in your life, in your family, the quicker you will see a release of the power of God in your midst. The second offering, verse 18. He then presented the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Then Moses slaughtered the ram and sprinkled the blood against the altar on all sides. He cut the ram into pieces and burnt the head, the pieces, and the fat. He washed the inner parts and the legs with water and burnt the whole ram on the altar. What this means is that you and I need to be wholly dedicated to God. Not one world, one foot in the world and one foot in the church or one foot in serving God and another in the world. Serve God with all of your heart, with everything, your thoughts, your programs that you watch, the music that you listen, everything. Be wholly devoted to God. Amen? That's what God is calling us to do. God is calling you as you come to Him. You too, like living stones, are being built into a living house, to a holy priesthood, to bring sacrifices that will be acceptable to God. This is the pathway, a life of total surrender, a life of dealing with sin in a godly way. The third sacrifice is the ram of ordination. Verse 22, he then presented the other ram, the ram for the ordination. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of the blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's sons forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ear, on the thumbs of their right hand, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then he sprinkled blood against the altar on all sides. What God was doing, in a sense, was marrying them to the work of the altar, to only hear from God, to be committed, to be in covenant with God. God, I'm not going to move without hearing from you, and to follow your hearing, what you want to do. That's what I'm going to do. Lord, I'm not going to touch anything, go anywhere without hearing from you and following your lead. What you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Where you lead me to go, where you tell me to go, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to go. And I am in covenant with you to hear from you, do what you want me to do, and to go where you want me to go. Too many people, they look at circumstances and they make decisions on their budget. They make decisions based on their finances. They make decisions based on their family. But that's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to become a servant that He can speak to, that will do what He wants you to do and go where He wants to send you. Amen. And in that pathway, we see the anointing come upon the servants of the Lord. You know what blessed me is that they did this for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, in the next chapter, Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22, we see, and Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and he gave them a blessing. And he had already sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the friendship offering. So he stepped down from the altar. Verse 23. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. Lou, you are forgiven. You know what happened? Is it her? You know what happened? So I read through the Bible in the nighttime, and my wife is sleeping. And so then I want to just flip to the next chapter and I press on the play part and it starts speaking. And 1 Peter chapter 2 verse that, and he starts speaking here. And I'm really, wait, do I put this? Forgiven. It happens with me. Verse 23, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they gave the people a blessing. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The Lord sent fire on the altar. There's many of you, you want the fire of God. You want the glory of the Lord to come down in this church. You want the presence of the Lord to be so thick that nobody can move, that everybody will be healed, restored, and empowered by God. You know, when it comes, when there's priests in the house, when there's consecrated men and women serving at the altar, That's when God sends His glory. That's when God sends His fire. Amen. This is that time. So this morning, I want to pray. I want to pray for you who wants to stand up before God and say, God, look no further. I'm going to be that priest. I'm going to be that priest to stand in the gap on behalf of my family, on behalf of this city, on behalf of this county, on behalf of this state, on behalf of this nation. From today, I'm going to stand in your presence. Don't look any further. I'm going to set my house in order. I'm going to anoint it with oil. I'm going to come here and anoint this place of worship. Man, every part of it, that when people come onto this property, that their lives will be changed. It will not just be a gathering for human purposes, but be a place where people meet with God. This is a place of visions and of dreams. Amen. If you are that man and woman, just stand where you are. I want to pray for you this morning. Man, the presence of the Lord is so strong here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for every man and woman standing in your presence. We are coming to you. We are not coming with holding our hands just for arms. We are coming to you to say, Lord, build me as well. Make me a living house where your presence can dwell. Make my life, my body, a holy temple, a devoted temple of the living God, where the Spirit of God will dwell richly. I pray this morning, Lord, that you will touch every man and woman as they stand before you. In Jesus' name, Lord, anoint them with oil. Anoint them with oil this morning. I pray that you will wash them with clean water. I pray that you will robe them with robes of righteousness. Let, Lord, clothe them with the armor of the Lord this morning. Clothe them completely, that they will be dressed and ready for action in these days. We are in the last days. The trumpet is being lifted and is about to sound all over the corners of this globe. And the Lord wants you to stand in the gap at this time, because there's a few people that need to come in. They need to come into the ark. They need to be saved. They need to be rescued. They need to be restored. They need to be delivered. But God is looking for a priest who will stand at the altar and make intercession, who will plead for mercy, who will plead for forgiveness, who will plead for grace of God to be poured out over those people, those family members, those children, those parents, those brothers, those sisters, those friends, those colleagues, those people in that county, in that town, in that subdivision, in that state, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that anointing that will come upon these men and women standing before you this morning, anoint them by the power of the Lord. Set them apart to be your priest. Set them apart to be your holy priesthood in Jesus' name. Anoint them and set them apart in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. No, just before I bring you up, let me pray for people who are unwell. If you are unwell, just stand where you are. I want to pray for you right now. I feel the Lord's healing power is here. God wants to heal you. Father, I come against every infection. I come against every infection. Every infection. In the name of Jesus. Inflammation. In Jesus' name. Be healed right now. Be healed right now. Those sores will be healed right now by your mighty power. Lord, those lumps, those knobs on their body will be disappearing right now in this moment by your mighty power. I see you healing hips. There's somebody sitting with severe pain in the hips this morning. But in this moment, the Lord Jesus is healing your hips completely. Your hips are restored completely right now by the mighty power of God. Father, I thank you. Touch their eyes, touch their ears, touch their teeth, touch their tongue, touch their lungs, touch their hearts, touch their respiratory system, touch their sinuses, touch every part of their body in Jesus' name. Bring healing and restoration right now in Jesus' name. I see hands. There's a hand that have been paining the last few days. In the name of Jesus, your hand is healed right now in Jesus' name. You can feel the pain is actually gone right now because Jesus has healed you. Amen. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. How many receive that word? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I know that the Lord, even this weekend, has been speaking to me on many things. And the message today was just confirmation of exactly what the Lord is desiring us to do, His church. You know, we are to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, holy lives. If we really want to see God move, what you've heard, the definition of insanity is wanting something different but doing the same thing. It's the same with the Lord. It's the same. If you're asking God to move in your family, God to move in your home, God to move in your children, God, and doing the same thing, nothing will change. And the change that has to take place is we have to be holy as He is holy. I hope, I pray that you heard that message today. Because it spoke to my spirit. It spoke to my spirit. We can no longer ask God to do something great for us and not do anything about it. We can't ask for a revival. And I've always said, I'm so thankful for what you said. Because I've said about revival, I've always said this. I said it would be irresponsible of God to pour out His Spirit and bring a revival and a harvest of souls if we weren't prepared to mentor them and disciple them. And God is not irresponsible. I've always said that. So church, if you want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you want revival, take your priestly position. Hallelujah. I am encouraged by that word today. And challenged. I told you to be challenged. I didn't know how much. I pray to be challenged when I come to church, and then there's times when you get toe stomped. But sometimes we need it. And thank you for delivering that message today. And now, what will we do? Oh, hallelujah. I will answer the call. I will be challenged. Because I want something different than what I've got now. I want more. That means I got to do more. I got to sacrifice more. And He's been speaking to me about that all weekend, and you've confirmed that today. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's hard. It's hard to end a service like that. Hallelujah. I really appreciate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that were up here today, you know if you've got a call. You know if you've been fulfilling it or not. The body of Christ needs you now more than ever. get your house in order so that we can all do what we're called to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Wanted to take just a second today to honor my parents. Would you stand? This week, they celebrated 49 years of marriage. I've been so busy, they probably thought I forgot, but we did not forget. We appreciate their example that they have been to the church of how to be faithful to one another, of how to stand strong together, support one another, and be pillars for the kingdom of God. And we celebrate with them on their 49 years of marriage, and thank you for being such wonderful examples to us. Happy birthday. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. He is so good. He is so good. Just overjoyed. Been so blessed this weekend. Hallelujah. And I'm so excited for what God's going to do. We're not in that phase where we've just rolled into November that we can start saying, well, God's going to do something great in January because it's a new year. We get in that phase where it starts to get, the closer it gets to the end of the year, we start going, well, in the beginning of the year, I'll do this. No. Now. Today. God has done something today. And today will be different. And tomorrow will be different. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads today? Dear Heavenly Father, I just am overjoyed today. Father God, I'm deeply challenged at the message that you've brought today and spoke to our hearts. And Father God, I ask that your word that has went forth today be a seed into our hearts of each and every person that is sitting in this room, that is watching online, that is a part of this body, that it is a seed that today, Father God, found good ground, and it will bring forth fruit, that it will bring forth fruit today. For those that are called of God, Lord, today they will say, God, today I answer that call. No longer will I put it on hold, no longer will I wait. Today is the day of the Lord. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing at Faith Worship Center. I thank you for what you're doing in Bardstown, Kentucky. And God, may we be the light to those that are lost. May we carry the message of Jesus to reach them. Use me, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast, and visit our website at fwcbtown.org, or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.